So, here in the UK, we are, to be honest, far more obsessed with cricket than baseball, but our friends over in the States have it the other way around. But they are pretty intrigued about our bat and ball game too. So the question is, for us, how similar are they? Are the skills the same, and do cricketers look at baseball to hone their technique, or even just for fun? Rather than answer that question ourselves, we thought we'd ask a proper cricketer, and not just any cricketer. So Darryl Tuffy played 25 Test matches and 85 one-day internationals for the New Zealand international cricket team as a fast bowler between 2000 and 2010, ending with a career average of just over 31 in both formats, and career best figures of 8 for 53 in tests. And for the benefit of our American listeners, that means he was pretty damn good. Not only that, he spends his spare time taking hacks and throwing down gas for the Campbelltown Caspers in his now native Sydney over in Australia. Good evening, Darryl. How are you?
Very well, mate. Thank you. Thank you for that lovely intro.
No problem. It's a pleasure. I think the first question, we've got to start here. So cricket and baseball, they've both got bats, they've both got balls. They're basically the same thing, right?
Yeah, very similar. Like a lot of the guys, like, and especially in the New Zealand cricket team, love baseball. Like a lot of the guys, we play a lot of fantasy baseball together. But during training, very similar. Kind of, we always have baseball mitts out at training, and you see it all around, like all the teams around the world. And you know, throwing a ball, throwing a baseball, throwing a cricket ball, very similar. Obviously, the art of hitting, once again, very similar again. So a lot of similarities with the two sports.
I mean, I know that's a bit of a silly question, but I kind of wanted to drill down into it a bit, and you've touched on a couple of things. Is there anything in it at all? I mean, I know that you quite often see a baseball glove being used in fielding drills nowadays, but as a guy who played professional cricket at the highest level, is that something you saw coming into the game whilst you were playing in the New Zealand setup and in first class cricket too, seeing the gloves and people using the techniques of baseball to hone their cricket technique?
Yeah, definitely. I think like you started to see like individuals having their own kind of baseball mitts. Like a lot of the time, you had a team kit bag and there'd be a whole lot of mitts in there, and kind of you kind of just dive in there and start having a throw. But then you start getting kind of you really want your own kind of baseball mitt. So like everyone kind of started to get their own kind of individual gear. You saw kind of probably the early mid 2000s we started incorporating, like we had baseball coaches in terms of our fielding, like getting your footwork, getting that a lot better. And we were lucky enough to have Travis Wilson, who was a minor league baseball player in the States for the Atlanta Braves system, but he played top level softball for New Zealand, and so he was employed as our fielding coach there for a while. And it was great having kind of knocking around with him and his experiences and just trying to hone your skills a bit better around the fielding aspect, especially.
So was it mostly fielding, or did it come into, you know, you were a bowler. Did it come into bowling at all? When you were playing as a top level cricketer, were you looking at videos of baseball players, looking at how they gripped the ball, how they threw the ball? Did you get anything from that side either?
Yeah, definitely. I remember talking to Glenn McGrath, the great Australian fast bowler, and he started incorporating like the split finger slow ball, like split finger fastball. I remember he had a lot of success kind of the mid-2000s just tinkering around with that. So like you started seeing a few of the like a slow ball is very similar probably to a curve ball, where you kind of you get the downward rotation on the balls and to try and take pace off. So once again, in terms of pitching and bowling, there are some similarities, but obviously the bowling motion's a little different. You're not kind of throwing the ball's kind of coming over, the arms coming over in a bit of a vertical motion. But yeah, in terms of the grips, you can kind of take a bit out of baseball, and like in terms of the slow balls and kind of split finger stuff that that like Glenn started to use during the mid-2000s.
And just sort of to go back to fielding, what is it that you were learning? You said it was footwork. Is it sort of where to put your feet, how to address the ball? People over here in the UK, and I guess it's probably the same in New Zealand and in Aussie as well, they look at baseball players and they see them with that big glove on, and they say to an extent they're wimps, really. You know, they should be getting that ball smack on the palm of their hand. So what is it? You know, you haven't got a glove. It's a very different technique. How is it different, and how can a cricket player learn from a baseball player in terms of fielding the ball?
Well, especially for the infielders, I remember the coaches kind of talking about, like, when you're picking the ball up, staying low, like keeping kind of your bum to the ground. A lot of time, like in cricket, you're out there for 6 hours, kind of walking in. Like, a lot of it was, like, you've always been told to walk in, like, you know, 5 to 10 paces, kind of walking in with a bowler. But when the baseball coaches would come in, they said, look, it's only kind of 2 steps, and kind of bum down to the ground and keeping a lot lower to the ground, so you can actually kind of get the ball into the hands. And then it was just kind of that quick. You watch the shortstops in baseball, they're very quick on their feet to get into position. And then that release and the power behind the throw. So we were working a lot. And the Australians were kind of brilliant. You look at Ricky Ponting and the like of those kind of guys, and Michael Clark, Martin Guptill now for New Zealand, those guys in a ring, as just so fast with the ball into the hand and just the release and, you know, generating a lot of runouts in terms of cricket. But let's say they take a lot out of kind of those, you know, the infield drills. When you look into the outfield, I was predominantly in the outfield, like out on the boundary. And so it was just tracking the ball for those high catches and, obviously when the ball's kind of landing out in front of you and just getting into position to throw with power and be a lot more balanced. It's all about balance, really.
As a guy who watches a lot of both sports, you can see that crossover in, particularly with the infielders. The standard when I was watching cricket as a youngster in 1990s and over here in England, of fielding was pretty poor. You know, it was, to be honest, a bunch of the fat guys who were rather waiting for their lunch rather than running in on the ball. And it's pretty astonishing to see the difference now, looking at guys playing in England like Ben Stokes and as you said, Martin Guptill. It's great. I mean, you can definitely see baseball in those guys' technique nowadays, and it you don't even think of it as baseball, I guess. It just looks like that's what a good athletic cricketer looks like these days. So I wanted to sort of dwell on bowling. It's interesting that you mentioned Glenn McGrath there, bowling with a split-fingered fastball, the menace of many of an England team who I've watched. One of the things that sort of stuck in my mind when I was thinking about this was you had a colleague during the 2000s, a guy called Chris Cairns, who bowled a really famous slower ball, which was very loopy, and it looked kind of like a change-up. And there's a guy who plays over here in England for Gloucestershire at the moment, a guy called Benny Howell, who's a bit of a 2020 specialist, and he claims to bowl a change-up as well. So I was wondering what your opinion was, whether it was even conceivable to bowl a change-up from a run-up when you're bringing the arm over.
Well, you see now, like 2020, the changes of pace, and it's just trying to offset the hitter's balance has become prevalent and really important. And you see a lot of change-ups, slow balls in cricket, obviously in baseball as well. You can't just keep throwing 95-mile-an-hour gas. You've got to kind of guys will just catch up to it, but you got to kind of get them off balance. And, yeah, I do remember a slow ball that you bowled to Chris Reid, Chris Cairns, and it's probably one of the best slow balls probably that you'll see for a long time. I think it was in the 99 Test Series, New Zealand and England, and he didn't have a clue. And it was interesting because talking to him, it was about holding the ball kind of on the side and kind of the pressure on your index finger and your thumb, and that's kind of got his, like, that loopy revolutions. And you kind of see, like, now, like, bit like knuckleballers and how they kind of bamboozle a lot of hitters when they get it right. It's very important now, especially in the modern era in cricket, like slow balls and changes of pace.
Yeah, you definitely see it coming across more. But in terms of doing it, you've been both a test match bowler and you're a pitcher nowadays. Is that sort of run up, does it make it harder? You know, does it make it more difficult to execute having done both? As you said, you know, in the one, you stood on the rubber, you're throwing a ball, and the other, you know, the technique is rather more complicated. There's a lot more motion to it.
Yeah, no, I think it's a similar, very, like bowling a change up in cricket to pitching a change up in baseball. Like, the whole thing is deception, trying to deceive the hitter, thinking that the ball is going to come down quicker than what it is. And so there's going to be slight variations either with your wrist or your fingers to take some pace off. And it's the same, like, to deceive the batter in cricket, you need to have that same kind of arm speed as you do with your normal delivery, like with your fast delivery, to try and kind of to keep the batter hitter off balance, and the same in baseball. And that's where those similarities come into it as well. So you need to get that same arm speed as your quicker delivery to make it effective.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to talk a little bit about you as a baseball player in a minute. But before we do, the last thing that sort of rounds off the trio of shared skills in the two sports is batting. Now you were a bowler by trade, but you weren't bad with the willow in your hand. But I know your colleague in the New Zealand team, Scott Styris, he's one of the kings of the Roto League that you guys have got together, and we'll talk about that again in a minute. But he's got a bit of a worldwide reputation through his career as a masher of cricket balls, and knowing now that he's a baseball fan, I'm guessing that he was taking his props and watching Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. No, he's a once again he's a massive baseball fan, and Scotty and I would often kind of head to the States to watch kind of during our off season to watch a bit of baseball. So we'd kind of head over to the West Coast a couple of times, and he'd always get into the baseball cages and show his wares. He's, you know, always had a good hand-eye kind of coordination with the bat, and a bit slower in the outfield. He's got a pretty weak arm. So if he was ever to turn to baseball, he'd definitely be like a DH type player, and just like probably a clean-up hitter. But no, he it was interesting just watching the way he could hit the ball as well, like out and even like Jacob Oram, he's another guy that plays in our baseball, but he was a fine, he was a big hitter of a cricket ball, and he could actually hit both. He was ambidextrous, he actually hit both left and right with power too. We used to have a bit of a warm up kind of a game, a bit of a drill, bit like a home run derby type exercise where you'd have a coach just throwing some balls down. Obviously the balls are bouncing, not just coming on the full. But the object was to hit these balls out like home run derby. Got to fail to hit kind of two in a row. You just swap over, and the next guy would come in. There'd be about four or five guys padded up. But that was like, you know, probably one of the best drills that we did for a while. And it was always a lot of fun because everyone's kind of thinks they're big hitters of the cricket ball. And you had James Franklin guys, and like myself. Yeah, you always. We thought you're a big dog in terms of hitting balls out, and you'd always like to challenge Scott Styris and the batting core. But no, so we incorporate a lot of that kind of training into our training as well.
It certainly sounds like it, and it sounds like it was sort of the glue that held that team together throughout the 2000s. So just sort of touching on that for a second, you mentioned when we were sort of swapping messages about having this conversation that that Scott, and you mentioned Jacob Oram as well, and some of your other colleagues, Shane Bond, Daniel Vettori, were all huge fans of baseball, and particularly from the perspective of doing a fantasy league, which was something that you did in the dressing room and kept you guys together when you were on long overseas trips and so on. So I think the question is, who is the fantasy king? I mentioned that Scott is, well, you said before that Scott was a pretty good player, but was it pretty competitive amongst you?
Very competitive, very competitive. We had a very core kind of set core group of guys, and we all love baseball from watching it. We always watch it on telly, and obviously some of those kind of longer tours, if you're over in the subcontinent, Sri Lanka, India, and there's lots of baseball on TV there. So everyone kind of gather into someone's room, and there's always a lot of competitiveness, especially when we started playing fantasy baseball around 2007. So we've been playing for 10 years now, and every year it's always just as competitive as the last. Everyone wants to win. As hard as it is to admit, Scott Styris is the fantasy king at the moment, three-time champion. I'm just trailing him just slightly, so I can claim I am number two at the moment, but he is my arch nemesis, and there's always lots of banter. And the thing I found with fantasy baseball is that it actually got us to learn a lot more actually about baseball itself and like the statistics. And the more we played fantasy baseball, the actually more we learned actually about baseball itself, the game. And I had to get a real appreciation for what they do, how they can hit a baseball. And even now that I'm starting to play a little bit of baseball myself, is how hard it is to hit like home runs. It actually, it's easier to hit a six than it is to hit a home run, hands down. But to learn a little bit more about the game, it's by playing something simple as fantasy baseball, it was great. And like I say, we're still as competitive as ever. It's about to kick off shortly. We're looking at trying to get a draft date time, but everyone's kind of, some guys are playing in the IPL in India, and some guys are coaching, and the New Zealand cricket season is finishing up. I'm here in Aussie, so that's the hardest thing at the moment, is trying to just track down a time and a date. But no, we always look forward to draft day. That's like one of the best days of the year.
And it's a good way for you guys all to keep in touch, I guess. Was there anyone in the league who didn't take it particularly seriously, or were you all as into it as you and Scott clearly are? Is there anyone who you want to admit who's just there for the social side of things?
Oh, I think there's a couple of stragglers, to be honest. Like Peter Fulton, he played a lot of cricket for New Zealand. He's kind of just a guy that just probably loves just being around and just disassociated with our group, with the fantasy baseball group. But we've got a couple of guys, like one of the media guys, James Watson. He's from Australia and he's very competitive. So there's always like just racing to the waiver wire to pick up like the next prospect that you think's going to be the next Mike Trout. And so there's always kind of a couple of us that are absolute geeks in terms of fantasy baseball. But there's a couple of guys that just like to play. I'd even throw Jacob Oram in there, really, like, because we don't see each other all that much. Everyone's kind of got families and off doing like their next phase of their career in terms of jobs, except for Scotty. He's just kind of just lurking around being a commentator. So he's yet to kind of really move into the real world. But but everyone's kind of, yeah, but it's always good just to connect with each other and talk about the days that we played cricket, but also just see how everyone's families are nowadays.
You mentioned there just in your answer to the last question that understanding the statistics that are inherent in being a fantasy guy has helped your appreciation of baseball as a sport. Now, we're starting to see more of that. I mean, statistics have always been a thing in cricket, at least at the sort of headline level. But did you, in your career, which ended not too long ago, did you use some of the more advanced techniques that you maybe do see in baseball in terms of statistics, modelling, using a video and stuff like that? Was that another area where there was a crossover and a learning between the sports?
Yeah, definitely. You started seeing that a lot more kind of towards the end of my career, a lot more like in terms of stats. Like we had a computer analyst that would analyze opposing batters, so that would formulate plans for the bowlers. Pretty much the same that I guess the pitchers use for working out their plans and for hitters. So that was always there was always a bowlers meeting. We'd always kind of discuss like where their strengths were, and obviously trying to formulate plans to expose their weaknesses, and same for the hitters as well. Like for the batters, they would be looking at the way bowlers have been operating for the last kind of 2 months, and then how their form is hitting in. So very similar kind of crossover to baseball, and a lot of the stuff as well was getting marked down. So it was getting measured, especially like when you're in the nets, the execution of what you're doing. Like not so much pitch counts, but kind of like nowadays, a lot of it's injury prevention management. So there's certain like numbers that you would have to hit at trainings, and then kind of come out. And you see that a lot now with cricket. Guys are getting rested a lot more in terms of workloads, and the guys getting monitored a lot more, especially with their bowling workloads. So very similar to pitch counts and pitching. So that's kind of started to creep into cricket a little bit more. And in terms of statistics-wise as well.
Yeah, I know another thing that we mentioned ahead of this was that you actually took part in some promotional events over in New Zealand with a couple of big leaguers. I think you mentioned that you did some with Mark Melanson and with Curtis Granderson. I wondered how those came about and what it was that you got up to. I've seen the video of Didi Gregorius and Marty Guptill in the batting cage. Was it something a bit like that for you and Melanson and Granderson?
Yeah, it was. Like, I keep in contact quite regularly with Ryan Flynn. He's the CEO of New Zealand Baseball. He's doing a great job down in New Zealand. Like baseball's still like fairly new, and like when I was kind of growing up, it wasn't until like kind of mid '90s where baseball really started to take off a little bit. But it's still like even like now, it's softball is the main kind of in terms of softball and baseball is the main sport still. And Ryan's working hard down there to promote and baseball, and one of the initiatives was Major League Baseball sent down an ambassador. And the year I was kind of down there, Curtis Granderson came down. So I was lucky enough to spend a day with Curtis and like having some hitting with him. I bowled a couple of cricket balls at him. I think there's a huge difference of obviously the ball hitting the turf and bouncing up than it was obviously just throwing a full toss to him. So just his eye line tracking down to get the ball was very new to him. So that was quite interesting. And obviously just doing some outfield work with him and how to track fly balls and get into the position to throw back. And I found it really interesting. Obviously, I'm a baseball nut, so I really enjoyed rubbing shoulders with him. And then Mark Melanson came out the next year after, and it was great talking to him. He just got traded from Houston to Boston while we were there. So it was funny. He had his wife out, and just talking to him about what it's like. Obviously, just one day you're in Houston, the next day you're getting shipped off to Boston, and then he got shifted not long after that, I think, as well. So just talking to him about the business of baseball, it's pretty cutthroat. Like, you don't kind of get shifted around in cricket like you do in baseball. Kind of you settle down with cricket, you're in the same spot for a while. But in baseball, you can kind of be up and gone. You know, you're in a two-man trade to somewhere else and across the other side of the country, and you just got to get up and do it. And it was interesting talking to Guppy as well. Like, Marty Guptill got to rub shoulders with Didi Gregorius this year as part of Major League Baseball ambassador program. So, and he enjoyed it. He thought it was great. They were hitting in the batting cage. And yeah, still pretty jealous though, because Gregorius is one of Marty Guptill's followers. So I'm just trying to sneak in there and see if Gregorius can follow me as well.
We'd all like Didi Gregorius to follow us on Twitter. So you mentioned there that Ryan Flynn's doing a pretty cool job of promoting baseball as a sport in New Zealand. I was going to ask you about that, about what's happening with baseball in New Zealand. Is it sort of getting a bit of crossover? I know that AJ Preller was over in New Zealand over the off-season looking at some players and stuff. So I guess, are kids starting to play baseball instead of cricket, or play it alongside cricket? Is it seen as something that the youngsters are getting into in New Zealand?
Yeah, definitely. You're seeing a lot of, like once again, I follow baseball New Zealand on Twitter, and there's always like seen like different leagues kind of cropping up in kind of regional towns, which is great. Obviously, a lot of the baseball has always kind of has been played in Auckland in times gone by, but you know, down in Christchurch, they're kind of cropping up everywhere in New Zealand, which is great. So that means like a lot of young kids are getting into baseball and can kind of see there's a future, and that's probably what Ryan's been working towards. Is like, obviously there's a future, like obviously kids to either cricket's my first love, but there's always kind of you're going to see guys. There's only 11 people can kind of obviously play cricket in the team, and it could be like opportunities to play another sport, like not to lose a young athlete because they can't play cricket. So it's just another avenue of to get on the international stage and, you know, or the national stage. So I think he's doing a great job down there just promoting, and obviously having AJ Perella, Grandison, Melanson, Gregorius. Paul Goldschmidt was out a couple of years ago before that as well. Like, it's just great obviously having those kind of those huge names coming down, and obviously MLB taking an interest and seeing that there is, you know, some really good talent down in New Zealand.
Yeah, and you I believe now, well, I mentioned at the top, you play baseball yourself. So what standard of baseball is it that you're playing, and what is it that you're doing? You must be a pitcher, right, as a guy who used to be a bowler in international cricket.
Yeah, I'm pitching. I'm pitching at the moment, I'm pitching over 35s baseball, so it's not like I'm at AAA or anything like that. So I don't kind of but no, I'm having a great time. It's the first year I've ever played. I tried out last July in a winter comp with a friend of mine, Christian Fleming. So he invited me down to Campbelltown Caspers, which is a local team in Sydney, and I really loved it. Obviously, coming from cricket took up a lot of time. I've got two young children, and to have like a shorter kind of period to play, to still play, I'm still competitive, but to play like on Friday nights, I play, and it's just good. I've learned a lot. There's so much more actually playing real baseball than actual fantasy. So it's been like a really good learning curve, and I've got a great team around me, and everyone loves baseball. We all get together on Fridays, have a hit, have a throw. I'm a pitcher, so predominantly, so I really enjoy the pitching side of things, and I'm watching YouTube all the time, like, trying to see how Max Scherzer throws his change up, his slider, and all these kind of things. Doesn't really work for me, which is a bit of a shame. But I'm always kind of watching all these YouTube video clips about how you can throw, you know, a big hammer curve and things like that. So I'm always I'm trying, and but I'm enjoying it. And when I relay back to a few of our guys in the fantasy baseball, the New Zealand cricket lads, like I think they kind of sometimes wish that they could put down whatever they're doing and have a crack, because I know they would really enjoy it. Get Scotty Styris to, he talks a big game, you know, about fantasy, but I'd love to see him he thinks he'd be a second baseman that would probably be kind of a 30, kind of 20 type player. Like 20, I don't think I can see Scotty getting the 20 steals, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of an optimistic projection for his position, to be honest.
Well, exactly. Like I said, he'd probably be DH. And but, you know, I talked to Shane Bond. Shane Bond, very good friend, and he, we were always throwing baseball pitches when we were warming up pre-game, and we could have been watching like one of the big league games on at night, and then all of a sudden next day we're out there just trying to muck around throwing pitches before, you know, as a warm-up. So I'd love to see Shane, because Shane obviously bowled at 150K, that kind of early 90s type heat, and I'd always wonder, like, if he could throw that type of heat in baseball off a mound, because throwing off a mound is a lot different than throwing off flat ground. That's what I've found. It took quite a bit to get used to throwing off a mound.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned Shane Bond. He particularly for the guys who might be listening in the States, he had a reputation in the early 2000s as the fastest bowler in cricket. So yeah, he would be a guy who I'd like to see out there with the and maybe have the radar gun on him. See if he can get up there with Chapman.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be up there with Chapman now, but I think back in the day he would have been kind of very comparable. Like I've seen a few fast spells, Shane, and even when he was throwing, you can see that he was he had those fast twitch fibers. And but yeah, so no, he was a great player for us. He was great to watch.
Yeah, he was. He was great to watch as a neutral as well. He wasn't so great to watch when he was running through your top order. I can say that as an England fan. But as a neutral, he was always one to watch. So you were a Twins fan, Darryl, right? So I wondered, how does a guy in New Zealand who grew up in the 90s end up as a Minnesota Twins fan?
Yeah, it's tough work being a Minnesota Twins fan, I must say. When I first got into baseball, it would have been the late 80s, early 90s, and the Twins were one of the better teams around, like with the Atlanta Braves and Oakland Athletics. And it wasn't until about the 91 World Series when Minnesota won. Really loved Kirby Puckett. Back in the day, he was a great player for the Twins, late Kirby Puckett. And since then, I really loved it. Like, I kind of followed it more and more. And obviously, a lot of the, even like the apparel, like the caps and the shirt started kind of coming out around kind of that early 90s, mid 90s. And it was really fashionable. So there's a lot more baseball teams coming. You know, the New York Yankees have always been such a huge brand. But yeah, I've always kind of stuck with the Twins. And so I always, keep an eye on, see how they're going. Obviously, they're kind of a low market team, so they're always kind of trading away their best talent. Like, I always used to love Johan Santana. He was one of my favorite pitchers, watching him, and it just gets to a stage, I think, for the Twins where they just can't afford guys hitting free agency to keep. Guys like Big Papi was one that obviously left and had a very successful career with Boston, and Joe Nathan. But they've got a lot of good young players coming through. Like, obviously, I keep a few, like, in terms of fantasy baseball, like Berríos, Kepler, Buxton, and Sano. So I keep a bit of a close eye on those. They strike out a little bit too much for fantasy purposes at the moment.
You've got to be hopeful as a Twins fan. So, you know, they're not going to be, maybe not going to be in your fantasy team, but as a guy who follows that squad, you've got to be hopeful that bunch of youngsters is going to be the next great Twins team, surely. Well, I think everyone in Minnesota thinks the same, but you must do too.
Like, in that league, in the American League Central, it's not like a hugely strong kind of team. Like Detroit Tigers have kind of been, they're going to go in rebuilding mode at the moment. Same with the likes of the Royals. You kind of go over to Cleveland. Obviously, they played tremendously last year. Like, their pitching staff and the relievers with Andrew Miller and Cody Allen just lights out. But the White Sox are rebuilding, obviously, with a whole lot of their trades over the offseason as well. So, but yeah, we could be competitive. Like, obviously, pretty down, couple of down seasons the last couple of years. But it's not overly strong, in my opinion, that the American League Central. So you just kind of need a bit to go your way. Obviously, a lot of those young guys had a good taste last year of big leagues. And so hopefully they'll be a lot better, you know, like lots of Buxton, et cetera. And, you know, I guess it all, you know, hinges on, like, whether pitchers can stay healthy and the like. But kind of my pick, I reckon, at the moment, like, the ones I'm kind of really interested in at the moment is Colorado. Like, I love watching kind of their group of young hitters, like Arenado, et cetera. So I'm kind of, I'm looking at Minnesota, but I'm kind of actually really keen to see how, like a Trevor Story and that go with, healthy this year for Colorado, because I think they can mash some big scores down there. They just need the pitching to to step up.
Yeah, I think the pitching might. I think that certainly we've got one of the guys who's part of our podcast. He's a big Rockies fan, and he's really hopeful that Gray and Chatwood and Bettis, that they're their guys. These are going to be the first guys who know how to pitch in Coors Field. And if someone learns and they're on the Rockies, then you're right. The Rockies are going to be pretty irresistible with that lineup. I'm like you. I'm a big Arenado fan. He's some player.
Oh, definitely with the addition of Greg Holland, like that back of that bullpen's looking really nice with Ottavino and Jason Mott, like a healthy Jason Mott now. So they just kind of need to get to that kind of seventh inning, kind of unscathed a bit. But I'm really excited actually. Likes of David Dahl. He's one, like, once again for fantasy. Like, I've been kind of just doing a bit of research on him. I had him last year and watched him, and so he's one I've got. I'm quite excited about this year.
To round it off, I was going to ask you for your hopes this year, and I was going to pin these on the Twins actually, but it sounds like the hopes for this year are just really to beat Scott Styris, and if Buxton and Kepler and Sano turn into the players that you hope they can be, then that's a nice bonus. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's like I say, we're in a competitive league. There's other guys that are lurking around, but there's normally just like kind of two heavyweights and the rest are kind of just fighting for the scraps at the moment. But I'll get a few calls coming in after a few of these comments anyways. But I'm looking forward to the season starting, obviously. Like at the moment, spring training games are kicking in, and I'm kind of just hoping like some of my favourite players don't get injured. Like Max Scherzer is a favourite of mine, and he's dealing with a fractured knuckle. I don't know. It doesn't sound that great, to be honest, to have a fractured knuckle, but they all go, no, he's good. He's good. He's right. He's feeling good. I don't know how you can feel good with a fractured knuckle, but hopefully, I love watching him pitch. And so hopefully everyone gets through unscathed.
Excellent. So we'll be tracking it alongside you. We'll be watching all the spring training games. We'll be watching, well, maybe not all 162 games for every team, but let's keep in touch over the course of the season, and we'd love to hear how things are going in the keeper league, and we'll be rooting for you against Scott. So where can we keep in touch with you over this season, chat with you about baseball online, Daryl? I guess Twitter's probably easiest to talk to you. Where are you on Twitter?
Yeah, at Daryl Tuffy. And so we're always Scott, myself, Shane Bond, and a few of us always kind of throwing our 10 cents worth of knowledge, whether it's absolute rubbish or not. Yeah, so that's where a lot of us kind of throw a bit of banter. But I'm always keen to hear if anyone wants to throw a few sleepers my way. I'd love you to tweet me back, and I could always use some help. So if anyone has any tips or anything, I'm all ears.
Well, there you go. This is the chance for the UK fantasy baseball fraternity to make a name for itself. You know, if you've got that sleeper, if you've got that pick, send them towards Daryl. We can point everyone in your direction. So if you're getting spam, then it's probably from us. Certainly, if it's just the names of baseball players. Thanks for your time, Daryl. It's been a really interesting conversation to have for first thing on a Saturday morning for me and a Saturday evening for you. We'll keep in touch over the course of the year. Hopefully, you'll best your arch nemesis, and the Twins will have a really good season. Thanks for your time, and hopefully we can speak to you again soon.
Beautiful. Thanks for having me, mate. Really appreciate it.